I've been told that this is not for children. So if you are a child, stop listening.
Yeah, you better bring your A game. We're here to sit to be impressed. It's been 2 weeks. You know, I mean,
it's been hard.
He is wearing his cat t-shirt.
I am wearing my cat t-shirt, so.
I like it. It's very you. And I guarantee it probably only cost you, what, $3?
Probably.
Got it with a coupon. Always with a coupon.
Are we recording?
We are recording.
Oh my gosh.
Every yeah. week. All the time.
I'm not ready for this.
Gotta do the cold opening.
Yep. Somebody likes the cold opening. Somebody doesn't like the cold opening. And another person is indifferent.
Who doesn't like the cold opening? You don't like the cold openings?
Nope.
Why?
I don't like it.
Like the way that the people just have a natural conversation and you come right into it?
Nope. I don't like it.
She doesn't have natural conversations.
Doesn't matter.
Whatever. Anyways, welcome to Verbal Distillery. We're going to talk about some whiskey and find out something weird. And
do we know who we are?
I'm Joe.
Thank you.
I'm Celeste.
I'm Ryan.
And we're coming back from a long break. It's been like, what, 2 weeks?
It's been years, it yeah. feels like.
Oh, God.
So all of our...
I feel like the Beatles, when they got up on that building, people were like, what?
Our seven listeners probably dropped down
five.
To... Five. No.
It's five listeners.
It's five now. So thank you for all that you...
We're really just doing this for ourselves.
We're clearly, because we thought by now we would be big shots.
Yeah, what gave you that idea?
I just felt like we would.
Well, we are going to change things up a little bit.
We are totally, we're totes changing things. And this is going to be the revolutionary change that is going to bring about at least a 20% increase in listenership.
Nah, I just think it's like, I think it's just streamlining, just, you know, finding our voice.
Yeah, you know, because I've been told I have a voice for podcasting as well as a face for it, too.
Yeah, all right.
What are we drinking?
What are we? Well, I thought we had weird stuff. Anybody weird?
Oh, shit.
Oh, I don't have weird. I have funny. Like, Acme cartoon funny.
That is good.
Yeah.
That
like, you guys great. were over last night to watch Extreme Rules.
We
like,
were?
You saw my jacked up finger on my ring finger on my left hand.
Yeah, what the heck is up with that?
So there's a story to it. And it's not just my finger that it, actually, it's jacked up on this finger, too, but not nearly as bad as this one.
Did you get in a fist fight with Megan?
Nope. Not at all. I got in a fist fight with a resistance band and a door.
Wow.
Basically what happened was is I was like doing one of my workouts, and instead of, because like down this basement that we also record in is also where I work out, and like we don't really have a place where I can like put a pull-up bar, but you know, to simulate pull-ups you use resistance bands, you know.
Yep. I know, like a rope. I lift, bro. I understand.
Yeah. You're so woke. No, swole. You're swole.
Wow, that's even more woke.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means.
So a resistance band mimics it because it is, you know, it's like a rubber band with handles at the end of it. Well, to put it somewhere where it can have tension and I can pull on it, I use an old strap from an old, like, briefcase I have. And basically, like, you know, the strap I've tied into a knot at the end, and at the end it has, like, metal pieces on each side. One is, like, you know, where you can change the sizing of it and everything, and then there's the clasp. It's all metal, so it's, like, four metal pieces. And the knot's all nice and tight, and then I fling it over the top of the door, close the door, and that way when I'm pulling on it, the thing's not...
Keeps it
doesn't
yeah,
come out.
Okay. It doesn't pop out the door.
Yeah, that's the point.
Well, the thing that you have to wonder, and I think it's because of this door and during winter and summer and whatever, like it swells because it's a wooden door. Well, I was in like doing a pull-up basically with the resistance band. So I'm at like, when you do this, basically picture yourself like in a lunge position and then you bend over at the waist. So you're kind of like... a straight line from where you're pulling from all the way down to your foot. So you're like completely like that.
Okay.
The door, I'm full pull. Like it's all, I got the band handles all the way down to my head, on the sides of my head like this. And the door opens.
Oh, jeez.
And so.
That's not good.
You know, it was not good. Because I've heard horror stories about like bands breaking. Like somebody's telling me one time,
snapping.
It's like, oh, a resistance band snapped on one guy, took his eye out, you know, because it snapped back at such a high speed, it popped it out. So I hear the door open, and I like instinctually kind of like clench up, and like the metal parts of the band had to have hit my hands like pretty hard on. Like, I mean, especially my ring finger in my left hand, it clobbered that one. So, and then the metal pieces was secured, it skimmed my abs. And like, cause I got a bruise here from it. Then it clipped my junk, the tip of my junk.
Just the tip.
Just the tip. It did. It was just the tip.
Do you work out naked?
And then no. No, I wear, like, wear like what I'm wearing right now. I'm wearing, like, freaking, like, not jean pants.
I'm wearing jorts. I'm wearing jorts, damn it.
He does the John Cena workout.
I'm just wearing gym shorts, you know? Yeah, I'm just wearing gym shorts. Skims my junk, and then the majority of the pieces smack into my thigh. Like, you can see it. There's a big old, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And, but, of course, the skimming of my junk, it was just like, I dropped like a sack of potatoes, just like grabbed my balls and just went to the ground. And I swear to you, I think I invented new curse words at that moment. Cause like all I'm feeling like my, you know, nerve sensors in my brain are only like going like, your dick. And I'm like, it's down. And, like, I'm on the ground just holding and going, ah! I don't even know how badly my finger's injured at this point. I don't even know how badly my thigh or any other bruises or whatever. I have no idea.
I'm just worried about one thing.
I'm like, oh, because it just hurts so bad. Yeah. Really, it was the most minorest of injuries out of all of them from that thing. It was like, there was no bruising on it, no nothing. It just skimmed it. Like, it just clipped right by it.
It's very sensitive.
Yeah, well, you got a lot of nerve endings there. I mean, it's supposed to be, but, like...
I was going to ask if you got a fear boner from it.
No, there was... I was like, is it not going to work for a few days? What's happening?
Is it going to sting when I pee?
Yeah. I'm just like, I am cursing up a storm.
Is there like an abrasion on it?
Nope. Like literally it just skimmed it. It was almost like, you know, you kind of like if when you're zipping up one time and you accidentally like zip past it. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Ooh, no.
Because like I was afraid like it like skimmed past it, but it like hurt so bad. I'm like, oh my God, I hope I'm not pissing blood or something like that. And I'm like, no. That was totally fine. Then I look at my finger and I'm like, holy crap. And it starts swelling. Well, being the manly man that I am, I continued on with my workout.
Of course.
You know, finished it out.
After your cry.
But my ring finger on my left hand is swole. Like, I mean, it's a lot better now.
It looks
like gone down.
Puncture wound. Did it bleed?
Yeah, it bleed. But I think the metal came in and it bleed. If it bleeds, we can kill it. And it like hit, I think it hit it head on like right here. So it basically was a big jam.
Yeah.
You know, like a big jam. That was a fun workout session. I mean,
way to finish. I just want to give you a slow clap. We're continuing on.
Yes.
Yep. Nice I one. Continued on and got the job done. And my God, like for those first few seconds, I'm just like, I'll never have children again. I mean, it just hurts so bad. I didn't even realize how badly this finger was injured.
Yeah.
Didn't even register mentally.
Well, I mean, because you know, it hurt the junk and
yeah. Oh my God. And I was on the ground, just like doing that thing where you're just like, it's not real. This didn't happen. You know that thing whenever you get like a severe injury and something like that and part of your brain is trying to like, I remember when I broke both my arms, you know, falling off a ladder when I was 14 years old.
Yeah.
Your first instinct is like, this didn't happen. This isn't real. This wasn't, this is never, no, wait, this is a dream. And then all of a sudden you're like, fuck.
Oh, I can't.
Yeah.
It hurts.
I hate that story.
I can't even
What, the ladder falling story?
Just so...
How did you poop?
Oh, you just like, you poop. I didn't hurt my butt.
I know, but like...
Did somebody wipe for you?
Yeah.
No. You just find like, okay, so like, so your arms are in cast and L shapes. So like, you kind of like go right arm up, left arm down and under. It's like you give yourself a reach around. Yeah.
Really?
It's like a self reach around.
Kind of. Doesn't seem like it'd be possible.
Yeah. I'll show you. You just do it like this. See?
It's possible.
That, see?
It's possible.
Yeah.
I hope I never break.
You don't go to the back. You go through the front to the back.
Wow. Okay, then.
Also, I had Ryan put me in a wrestling move. That reminded me.
Yeah, remember when we talked about, the sharpshooter doesn't really hurt. Well, guess what?
It kind of hurts.
Yeah. If you actually...
Okay, dude, do you not listen to WWE all the time? Like, do not try this.
They don't
at
say
home.
That anymore. What? If you watch, they don't say that anymore.
I made him do it because I didn't believe that this would ever hurt.
Yeah.
And it did.
And it didn't lead to sex either, so I was really disappointed.
Okay, I'm sorry. It would disturb me if that did lead to sex. That would bother me a lot. Because it's like, I'm sorry, I don't get the whole S&M thing and stuff.
This
it's
isn't
like,
even that S&M either. It's just
I know, but that
wrestling.
Whole genre is just like, it's. I get why some people need to be slapped and want to be slapped. I mean, I get it, but I don't get it.
It
personally.
Did lead to some carpet burns, though.
Did it really?
Well, we have knee pads next
I was going to say, it really didn't, by the way.
That's what they're there for.
But yes, don't try it at home. Sharpshooters hurt if you actually lock them in.
And don't do it to your wife, because now she can be like, domestic abuse.
Yeah, assault and battery.
Did you have a safe word before you started?
No.
Oh, you didn't use, like,
she pretty much
Brett the Hitman Hart?
She just tapped out.
All right.
Okay. Well, let's drink something.
Yep. What we're looking at here today is, and many jokes will be made, it's George Dickel.
Ha!
Sour Mash Whiskey. This is a Tennessee whiskey.
Is this a tribute to your dick injury?
Yes! Skim this little dickle.
It's just a little dickle. It's not a big dickle. You can get the big dickles, but this is a little dickle.
Well, it's aged 9 years. I mean...
9? That's pretty good.
Stop. This is... Yep. Underage. Nope. We're not going there. We are not going there. No.
You went too far.
I'm putting the halt on this. They're a pretty big distillery in Tennessee.
They are.
I mean, they even outsource to other places, don't they?
Yeah, and
kind of like MGP. Like,
they gotta be
MGP actually has no brand of its own.
No.
They just source it out to anybody who needs whiskey.
They have to be the number two in Tennessee.
Yeah, they have to be.
Behind Jack.
Yeah. So what we're looking at, this is a hand-selected barrel. So
somebody literally used their hand to select.
Well, no, it's a barrel pick, but it's not a barrel pick. It's 103 proof.
What do you mean it's a barrel pick, but it's not?
Well, it wasn't sent to a store and they picked it.
Right. Like, the reason I got this bottle was a friend of Megan, Stephanie, which thank you, Stephanie. She got for a wedding present.
Does she actually listen?
No.
But thank you anyway.
I only care that you two listen. Yeah, that's all that matters. So she got like a Whiskey of the Month Club thing for three months for us. So like... this is the last month, and they sent a George Dickel. And so, like, the company that does the month club, it was a barrel selected for them. So, and this is 9 years old, like I said, 103 proof. I hate the bottle. I can't stand it. I don't like it. It's short. It's squat. It's very, like, wannabe flask.
If you look at it from the side, it's really weird because it's obviously flat in the back, but then the front kind of bevels out and then goes down.
It's just really weird. I'm not a fan of the bottle. I don't like the label. I mean, because it's like, it's more like the front label is like a back label almost. It's just mostly information with like a logo on it. I'm not the biggest fan of the look of this bottle. It's just,
But how does it taste?
On the nose, it's nutty, but not the same nuttiness of like Beam and Heaven Hill to me. It's very dry, too.
It does.
Very dry whiskey.
It's smooth. But it's very basic to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very like caramely, and you know it's got a smoke to it, and it's kind of very traditional whiskey.
I know you didn't buy this, but do you know how much it goes for?
Oh yeah, Dickel's. Shoot, I think you can get them for like 30.
I think these 30, 40. Might go above 40. Yeah,
somewhere around 40. Yeah, they're fairly common.
They're
you
not
can
horrible.
Find these. You can find these pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to an actual liquor store, you should find some sort of Dickel.
Yeah,
and you might even find this. You should find Dickel, and you probably
should
find
this
one.
I can tell you where to find
Dickel. And on Colfax Avenue, you can find some too.
you probably can find this in most decent sized liquor
stores.
Can I
get some Dickel for a tickle?
No, you want a Dickel tickle.
Oh, I do.
Yeah,
not a tickle for a Dickel. Yeah.
I want a Dickel tickle?
No, Ryan wants a Dickel tickle.
Oh.
Does it tickle your pickle? With
you
a
want a sharpshooter because you're just weird.
My problem with this is I think the nose is, to me, is kind of acrid and nutty. And then the initial taste actually isn't bad, but I'm talking like 10th of a second. And then all of a sudden it just goes super dry.
It does. I get that dryness too. It's just not that complex. I mean,
and I get that it's ethanol. I get that we've been... All of this, obviously, there's a lot of ethanol in whiskey. But you can have whiskeys, and eventually, if this podcast still exists, please keep listening. We will get around to the Hazmat ECBP.
Oh, we will.
Which is one of my... Yeah, I've
You still have
bottles,
some?
I have two bottles.
Oh, you have two bottles of the Hazmat.
Once I open it...
Wow. God, that thing is like pure
gas. But that really doesn't dry. I've never been drying this out of
it. No, I'm with you. But like, when you look at the proof on that thing, you're like, oh, God.
Yeah.
It's just, you're putting that in your body? Yup, I'm stripping the paint on the inside.
We should do that when we do spontaneous combustion.
Combustion is a story.
See what happens.
You know how I... Ugh, people just instantaneously coming on fire and whatever.
Yeah.
I think it's been done.
Totally been done.
Too much.
Everything's been done. But it's just crazy, again, the differences in different whiskeys and different barrels that you can get. And like, it's all... What's so much fun about it is it's science... Yes, science to explain it, but really, it's just take the distillate, put it in a barrel, stick it in a warehouse for several years, and
Listen,
sometimes you get
collapses.
Lucky. That's true.
And then you're like, we've got a specialty bottle. Yeah. We're going to make so much money.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait for the
I swear.
1792.
Yeah. Sabotage. What we're referencing is a, if you don't know already, we're referencing a warehouse, the Burtons, which is Buffalo Trace. It's all Buffalo Trace, isn't it?
Sazerac.
It's Sazerac. They had a warehouse that half of it fell. And then the other half fell. And people are like, oh my gosh. And anybody has asked, like, who's talked to us about it, have asked, been like, man, you think they have insurance on that? I'm like, they ain't worried about it. Honestly, yes, they do have insurance on it. And I guarantee you they're going to get that money. But they just realized all those barrels they can now sell for three times as much as they
assuming
were
originally
going
to sell. Assuming they actually keep them,
hopefully.
Yeah. Why wouldn't they keep them? To,
I don't know. Because insurance and government.
Gets involved.
Yeah.
Probably well, wait. Are you guys speculating the government's getting involved?
Yeah, we're speculating.
Well, the EPA is already involved.
The EPA is involved.
Yeah, but how's it any different than when at the actual Buffalo Trace distillery with the tornado thing? How's that any different?
You just need the FDA to come in and be like, well, these hit the ground, so...
Well, if the whiskey barrel is sealed, I guarantee it's whatever barrels survive out of that, I guarantee they're going
to
make even
them,
more money.
I just wouldn't be surprised.
Well, yeah, it's going to be a gimmick bottle. It'll be like, they'll call it Fall Down. 1792, the Fall Down.
I mean, 1792.
Fall Out?
No, the Final Fall.
We did the Maple Scissor, right? I think as one on the one episode.
Maple, yeah, I think we did.
Yeah,
the Maple Scissor.
I mean, the thing is with 1792, it's not horrible, but it ain't that, like, their common bottles aren't that good.
Yeah.
So I highly doubt any of these are going to be amazing.
Yeah, but now they've
got,
now they'll capitalize on it. Yep.
I don't blame them.
I don't either. I don't know.
So, anyway, back to the
ratings.
Ratings. To me, this is right at the line of average to below average.
Yeah, that's what I'm
like,
saying.
I'd give it like a 4.
Yeah, I was going to think about 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say 3.
And I'd be curious to see what this tastes like in a mixed drink.
Yeah, I mean, like, I know it's aged for 9 years. I don't taste the 9 years. It just still tastes extreme. I mean, it's just not, bottom line, it's just not complex enough for me. Like, I mean,
it is chill filtered. Do they filter it through the charcoal like Jack does?
No, they just feed it to some guy named George and he like pees it back out.
Yeah, that's why it's called Dickle.
It just...
Trickle Dickle.
Yeah, it's not the greatest.
Yeah, it's not. There's not
if you
a whole
see
lot
it,
to it,
I really wouldn't necessarily buy it.
Not at that price point.
No.
Not at a $40 bottle. Like, I mean, this is something I'd be like, yeah, this is okay to have on my shelf. It was $19. You know? Yeah. But not at that price point. No.
Sorry, what? Dick.
Wah, wah, wah. So why we sit here and continue to drink this Dickle?
It's the first and only time you'll hear Joe.
Ryan, what story have you got for us? What are we talking about?
What do I have? Well, I'm going to... you know, we have names for our episodes, and I usually just come up with them on the fly. Kind of like, you know, changing lines in hockey. And I'm going to call this one a fairy tale.
Mm. Ah, I like that. Is there a princess?
And you'll see why.
Am I a princess?
So, one of the new things that we did is we're going to try it for this one, maybe try it for some future ones, is I actually told Joe not a lot about this. Not about, like, the person I'm necessarily going to talk about or the whole subject, but a sort of side tangent part of what this guy believed in. And he looked it up.
It's a little bit out there. Yeah.
And it's theosophy.
Theosophy.
Which really, yes. I'll be honest with you, doesn't have all that much to do with the story. I feel like it's almost maybe slightly like an icing on the cake of...
Yeah, and that's
what
I wanted...
This guy had some weird theories, and then he also followed theosophy.
That's what I wanted to preface. Like, when Ryan told me about this, I started looking up about theosophy, and like, yeah, it's out there. It's a very different way of thinking, but it wasn't like the episode we talked about where like people believe like where all I need to do to survive is just breathe air. I don't need to eat or anything like that. Okay, that's just batshit crazy. And yeah, I can make fun of that all day long and not feel bad about it. But like when I was reading about theosophy, I was kind of like, okay, this is kooky, but it's not. Ideally, when you read about like what theosophy is about at its core, it's not that kooky out there. And I was kind of like, I messaged Ryan, I'm like, dude, like, I'm looking into this, what is this you're going to talk, because like, I don't think I can sit here and mock this. I mean, it's almost to me like, I mean, I'm not going to sit there and just mock Buddhism just because it's Buddha. I mean, I don't believe, I mean, I'm not in that sect, but I'm not, I see why people follow it. And theosophy was kind of following in that margin for me, where I'm just like, okay, this isn't crazy enough to be,
you know, for us to just, like, mock and laugh at. He's like, oh, no, 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 I just want you to know what that is about. This is more about a certain person, so.
Yeah.
I'm anxious to hear about who this person was, because he wouldn't tell me.
I will tell you my source, and honestly, I haven't had I don't have the chance to get this book, and unfortunately, like it says right in front of me, there's no ebook available, so I'd have to actually get the hard copy. But I kind of want to get it, because here's the name of this. Forgotten Science, Strange Ideas from the Scrap Heap of History.
Scrap Heap.
Which has been most of my stories.
That means, I love the title, but that does not say anything of, like, where this craziness is probably
going. No, it's just like, this is just the part that I got off of Google, which thankfully gives you portions of books, and it's actually this whole section, so I was able to read it. So, basically, if we step back into the 1800s, which for us feels like a long time ago, but in human history is nothing.
So you're starting with what theosophy is, right?
No, not really. In the 1800s, there was a gentleman. You may have heard of him. If you haven't, you probably should. His name is Charles Darwin.
Oh,
right. He is not the focus of our actual story here. But Charles Darwin sort of was considered the father of evolutionary theory.
Man. Monkey. Man. Monkey. Man. Monkey. Man.
Even though he really didn't talk much monkeys. No, he really didn't. But he had On the Origin of Species and Natural Selection and all of that. And he spent many years and had different voyages going on the Beagle to South America and other places where he really basically just...
He wrote a Beagle?
It was called the SS Beagle, I believe. HMS Beagle was the name of the ship.
That's a dumb name for a ship.
It wasn't a very big ship, I don't think.
Yeah, I wouldn't... I mean, I'm pretty sure... I want to name my ships a little something more
When they came to the dock, it was like, ow!
Exactly. So they knew it was there.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. It was like literally like a box. And like, you know, two guys just rowing on the sides and Darwin in the back being like, I just got a fridge out of this, you know?
Man. But, I mean, they also made it to the Galapagos, right?
I don't know where that was going.
And the Galapagos is one of those really cool islands. It's like, I kind of want to go there, but I also don't.
You know what?
Because I don't really want to mess with it any more than it already has been messed with. But I also want to go there because...
My Favorite Murder just talked about stuff on the Galapagos Islands, actually.
Yeah, wasn't there a big murder there?
Yeah.
That was a murder.
Murder.
So anyway, this is 1800s. And Darwin is one of the first people to try to scientifically maybe provide data on how the frig did we get here? Like, what is the deal with life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Theory of evolution. Mm-hmm. So, when you think of evolution, what do you think of? Like, what pops in your head when I say the word evolution?
Dinosaurs. The evolutionary from X-Men comics.
Okay.
Dinosaurs to birds.
Dinosaurs to birds. I think of the WWE stable, Evolution.
Okay.
Which had Ric Flair, Triple H.
Because you only think of men in spandex. That's all you think about.
I also think of microevolution.
Micro? So on a smaller level, like dog breeds. Cat breeds.
Moth colors.
Think about that horrible movie with David Duchovny.
I thought it was a show.
No, it was a movie. It was a movie. It was a movie. It was bad. I remember the reason that movie always sticks in my head because they like, it was kind of like in the...
what movie?
The Summit. It was called Evolution.
Oh, what?
It was like a science fiction movie. But that was kind of like when trailers really were becoming really good to like entice you to go see them. And like, I remember seeing the trailer for that. I'm like, this movie looks so amazing. And then I saw it and I was like, fuck you, David Duchovny. You suck. Because like, the movie was so bad. And I'm just like,
I don't even remember.
You've ruined X-Files.
I mean, like, literally to me, that was like the pinnacle of when like trailers like ruined movies, because like, okay, we're gonna take literally the only good points of the movie and show you that, and now you gotta watch the garbage.
Yep.
But David Duchovny's better now. He's okay. He's all right. He did Californication. It's good. It's all good.
And X-Files.
It's all good. All right.
So
yeah, we're cool
with the theory.
Yeah, David Duchovny's good.
David, if you want to come on the show,
we're
good
with David Duchovny. Yeah, I think I'm okay with it. I think. Yeah, I'm good.
You're good.
Continue.
You're cool.
Right, I'm good.
So you have the start of the theory of evolution, and there was, I can't remember the other writer or publisher, but basically it was Darwin and then somebody else, and they were kind of working together, and they brought
Who's
this out
Who's someone
there.
Else?
I don't remember. I apologize. It's not that big of a deal. I'm setting up the freaking story.
For a scientist, you're a shitty researcher.
I know I am. But it's the same thing with like Mendel and genetics. It really wasn't appreciated, right, in the scientific community for several years. Well, it was apparently appreciated was in a fairly strange sort of esoteric movement around the turn of the 20th century that thought about the evolution of a new kind of eye.
Oh, the third eye.
The third eye.
The third eye.
And we all, as we all know, the third eye is blind, correct?
I would totally go into one of their songs of, nope, don't have it in my brain. So,
and what some part of this movement was involved in was theorizing on a particular form of evolution, a new evolutionary branch.
Spiritual evolution.
Of fairies.
Ooh.
What?
Yes. Of fairies.
Gosh dang. You just threw me a curveball here, Oz. Man, you had me like, hey, look up what this is. And I'm like, looking into it, I'm like, okay. This is...
And so...
Are they Scottish?
No. So this one, this is actually like a setup to this other guy I'm going to talk about. Okay. But, and I'll quote out of this because it's pretty funny. His 1911 book is a record of his wanderings around the Celtic fringe, or Celtic, hunting both fairies and fairy seers, and Evans Wentz is quite clear that one day he expects mankind to develop the ability to perceive the hidden folk.
Changelings and fairies! We're doing changelings and fairies!
So basically he's saying...
Oh, back to the Ireland!
So this is more focused on... This is more focused on humans, like, evolving the ability to...
To see
fairies and interact with them. And, like...
I did not see this coming.
So that leads into the main individual, Charles Webster Ledbetter. Or Leadbeater? I don't know how to pronounce it.
Ledbetter.
Ledbetter. How's it spelled?
Probably Ledbetter.
Well, I don't even know why I'm looking at this. I'm the worst grammar of all
time. Sir Ledbetter. So
I can't even read.
He lived from 1854 to 1934, so 80 years. That's pretty long for a guy back in the day.
He just missed out on World War II.
Yeah.
Poor bastard.
You got World War I in there. So he was a clergyman in the Catholic Church, and I read a little bit that he was part of like
the... Was he an actual priest?
No, or just clergyman.
Just clergy, okay.
And he was in the liberal sect. Whatever that means. And then he became...
Father, have you seen the fairies?
And then...
I swear, they were in the garden.
Maybe that was it. But then he became a theosophist. That's where theosophy comes
in. That's what happens.
He believed...
Breathing too much incense.
In theosophy. Now, a little background on this guy from what I read. We're not going to go into any details because thankfully they provide no details because it's very, very disturbing. It's weird, but in a very bad way.
Theosophy?
Well, this guy in particular.
Okay.
And actually, it sounds like the theosophists sort of don't like him.
Oh, so he's like the fringe guy. He's the fringe theosophist. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So he's like the Bernie Sanders of theosophy.
And what?
Give everybody fairies.
And from what you recall from your research, because I didn't do a ton on theosophy.
Oh, see, I did actually quite a bit on theosophy.
So what,
yeah.
If you could summarize theosophy for our view, our
theosophy,
listeners.
From what I read, theosophy is basically like, Unitarianism is kind of like, okay, whatever you believe in is good. It's like, I believe in Us Weekly. Oh, well, there's your God. You know, it's like, that's kind of...
Us Weekly.
Wow. Theosophy is kind of like, it takes all the religions and seems like it kind of jams it all together, but it is a very, like, meditative, I don't want to say religion, but meditative
spirituality. It's basically a religion.
Yeah. Right. And it's like, and they do have a little bit, like, they touch on the occult a little bit. Like, they believe in something called, like, the World Teacher. And I read this thing about how, like, there was this Indian boy in India and the theosophist, they became a society. There's, like, the theosophist, I think it was Theosophist Society.
Yeah, I think that.
Yeah, yeah. And it was founded by, like, this Russian woman and, like, and two other dudes. But the Russian woman was the more focal center. She, like, wrote these two books with all their ideals. Completely contradictory ideals. Like, at one point in her book... She's saying, like, don't question it if you don't know it, but you can't know it unless you know it. But don't question it.
Think about it, but don't think about it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so she, you know.
Think about it, so you should stop thinking about it.
It was just crazy. It was very, I mean, it's like a lot of religions. Let's be honest. You look at a lot of religions, and it's like, there's a lot of contradictory shit going on. I mean, my God, Old Testament, New Testament, you couldn't be more yin and yang.
Yeah.
So, theosophy, it's very like... Their tagline, and this is not a quote, their tagline is about truth. It's like finding truth. But I'm like, your truth is basically whatever it is comes up in your head. So how is that truth? Because it's still subjective.
Yeah.
I don't know. So a lot of meditation, a little bit of magic. This seems like this would be like the step after Buddhism. Because like in theosophy, they do believe in reincarnation and that kind of thing.
Is this still a current
Yes, yes. Yeah. There is the society's still around. There's different chapters. I mean, the three people that started it back, they started in the late 1800s. Oh, wait, am I saying that right? It's like 1895.
Yeah, it was in the 1800s somewhere.
Yeah, and then, but they kind of had a split. Some of the offshoots kind of died off to like very few people, but there still is theosophical, you know, societies out there. And I mean, and it's, I mean, it's out. It's kooky. Yeah.
So I'm kind of wondering if maybe he turned theosophist, because there's many allegations, and from what I read, it was never
really Catholic allegations
shown or proven.
Well, there's actually Catholic theosophists.
Yeah,
there are. I think there are kind of there's like there's actually that. Some Catholic theosophists. Yeah,
but he's accused of things with children.
Oh,
he's a pedo. He's a pedo.
Yeah,
no, he's a pedophile.
So. From what I read
what
before,
I just
liked it when British say pedo. It just sounds so. It just sounds like it's like there's a pedo, there's a pedo.
Anyway, before it all really like came out into the open, he basically like left the church, and then we talked about it.
Oh, so he left the Theosophical Society.
No, the Catholic Church.
He left the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Well, he's just clergy. He just like walked out the back door, and somebody was like, "What's his name again?"
Charles Webster.
Yeah, they're like, "Where's Chuck?" Who? You know, the crazy. Oh,
the pedo.
We don't care.
We don't
care.
But part of what I read, which is kind of funny in a very weird way, is supposedly part of his rationale behind what he was doing with these children, and some of what he wasn't necessarily doing it to them, but apparently he was also like telling young boys to masturbate. Because he was concerned that they would sleep with prostitutes and, like, get
stroke
diseases.
Stroke harder. Stroke faster. Do not let the taint of a prostitute woman touch you.
I feel like the last few stories you've done, Ryan, there's masturbation has been a theme.
I mean, he did get you in a hammer. Sharpshooter.
Sharpshooter.
And it did not end in sex.
And we're talking about
he went into the closet for a while. I don't know what he was
doing. Did he just start, like, saying, like, "Bad boy. Bad. You're bad. Don't cry. Don't cry."
And then he was like, "I see fairies." What happened?
"They call me Prince Chancelot."
Anyway, Ledbetter wrote a book in 1913 called The Hidden Side of Things. Now, you gotta remember.
Yeah, you're not kidding me.
Well, you gotta think about it. I mean,
the underside of the penis.
You need to grab the shaft hard and just go.
So. Wow. No, but if you think about the theory of evolution, right, like in a lot, not all religions, but especially Christianity, but other religions too, it's like, it's horrible, right? Because how dare you think about science, scientific theory, because it's totally opposed to
Christ. Yeah, isn't pretty much the whole Dark Ages that set society back was all based, like,
yeah, and so maybe
it was like, stop inventing stuff because it's not from God.
Maybe this is kind of in that same light, because he was basically trying to explain that evolution exists, but it's basically from, like, a divine force. In fact, I've read even from, like, the sun and solar systems.
Mm.
I know. So it's just very strange. And in the end...
Well, it's a pedo!
It's kind of like you say, Ryan, like, God could have put it all in motion. I mean, who's to say?
It just went, what the fuck did I do?
Why not?
Oops.
We call this a happy accident.
Now we have a pedo.
So, his new he basically created this new evolutionary tree for fairies in his book.
Wait, no. Yeah. Time out. So this guy, like, detaches, like, he just detaches from everything. So much so where he's just like, yeah, I see, you know, the evolution scientific, you know, that's coming here and there. What about the fairies?
But they believed in fairies back then.
Wait, is this guy an Irish? He's an Irishman? Is this in Ireland?
You said Celtic or Celtic.
Yeah.
Around.
That was the other guy.
Oh, that was the other guy.
That was the other guy. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, this guy, was he like, did he come from Ireland or something?
I'm trying to figure out where he came from. English.
I'll leave it to the
actually,
English.
Screw stuff up.
I mean, that whole, you know, island believes in fairies.
Well, okay.
Yeah,
cool.
But the English, I don't think the Anglo-Saxons were too heavy into that, because the thing was, the Anglo-Saxons were like, they were heavy into Christianity. That's like, you know, once it got brought into there, they just like, they. Yeah,
well, everybody like pretends they're heavy into Christianity, but they secretly are into other things.
Oh.
Are you trying to tell us something?
Oh, you don't know about her candle
night vigils?
You don't know
well, she calls them a vigil.
That six-sided star I have under her bed?
No. No, no, no.
Well, now I'm going to go look tonight, and I might burn down our freaking house.
No, no, no. She's going to Burning Man.
Oh, okay. I get that. Evolution really, I mean, the theory of evolution, there's no predetermined goal. Like, it just happens, right? It just is.
Well, evolution is supposed to be like the creatures as a whole adapt as the environment changes.
True, but there's no predefined, like, now we're at the end of evolution, right?
No.
It just keeps going.
No, I mean, you see that now. Like, I mean, honestly, if you look at charts, too, it's like human beings on average, just even our height. Our average height has changed over the years. Like, we keep getting, our average height keeps getting higher and higher, just like our average length of life does. Now, no, yes.
Sorry, the length of someone else.
Just drink that dick one. Shut your mouth. That's a good girl.
This isn't Dickle anymore, but.
Oh, all right. But, I had a bunghole joke there. But I was like, no.
I make a dickle joke and you make a bunghole joke. So.
But yeah, I mean, like, we're still evolving. I mean, things like our standards are changing every day just because we're adapting to our society. And I know what I was making my point with the medical thing as far as like how long we're living is, yeah, you can attribute that to the fact that it's like, hey, we're living longer because our medicine gets better. Yeah, but because we're getting smarter. We're experimenting. We're changing. Everything's like moving forward. I mean, it's all part of the same process.
So anyway, Ledbetter thought that stuff was basically evolving from mineral life to solar spirits. And the solar spirits was because he basically said he thought that everything came from the solar deity. So it really wasn't God, but it was like a deity from the sun.
Is he just making this shit off the cusp?
I think so.
I mean, like, you're just like, all of a sudden, it's like, because it came from a solar deity. What? A solar deity? So at night, he's not around?
Nope, not around.
Wait a minute. So wait, God sleeps? Wait. I want omnipotence. Damn it. I need my gods to be around all the time.
No, I don't want him watching me all the time. Especially when I sleep.
I do. I like feeling like it. It's like, you know, it's hey, creepy. It's late night on Showtime. What you watching?
So his thought was that through each stage of evolution, basically beings are becoming more and more conscious. And he applied that same pattern to fairies, right? Because if it's good for animals, it's good for fairies.
We're basically seeing the birth of the first comic book writer. Just kind of making shit up as I go.
And his thought was that there was an existence of two classes of what he called primitive nature spirits, known as detachable gnomies, or gnomes.
Gnomes.
And undetachable gnomes.
Wait, detachable gnomes?
And undetachable gnomes. Apparently they're fairies, I don't know.
Gnomes and fairies?
I don't know, I'm not really into this stuff.
Also, what are they detaching from?
We'll talk about that.
Price line?
I'm tired of representing this company. I'm detaching.
So Ledbetter,
I'm just going to stand in somebody's yard.
Ledbetter said that both of these races of gnomes evolved from certain minerals, of course.
Called plaster.
But that one species was more evolutionarily advanced than the other, of course.
Right. I just want
they sell them in different sizes. I mean, you know, they sell gnomes very tall, and then there's some that are small.
Yeah. This just seems like a...
Yeah, he's like a comic book writer. He's just making
money
shit up.
Thing. Like,
I don't know, but he's weird, obviously.
Okay, just continue.
So, the undetachable gnomes evolved first, and they lived within subterranean rocks.
Well, yeah.
From which they were unable to separate their so-called etheric bodies. They couldn't pass the etheric plane.
Okay.
So that was undetached.
So they're kind of like the lizard people we have today, where they
that are connected to the Illuminati, the Black Lodge.
Yeah, because those are totally real. They were trapped underground forever until somehow they evolved into, you want to guess? Detachable gnomes.
I don't understand this term, detachable. This because seems like
they detach from the undetachable, which were stuck.
What are undetachable? I mean, like,
they were unable to separate their so-called etheric bodies from the subterranean rocks in which they lived. That makes perfect sense.
It's like it's their own little planet under there, and they weren't allowed to come up.
I feel like I need to be on
up.
Cocaine to understand this.
You might.
I feel like I really should write a children's book after this. It's kind of entertaining.
No, this no, we should wow. not. This would scare people.
These reactions are completely different.
I'm just waiting to get into red caps. You know, the angry little gnome troll things. And they're just like, we're iron boots.
Snow White to show up.
Anyhoot, detachable gnomes lived in rocks closer to the Earth's surface. So you know what they were able to do? They were able to free or detach themselves sometime from the rock and walk around the grass and the flowers.
It's like the fish that evolved to breathe air so that they can come out and crawl up on the ground sometimes.
Yeah, but we actually
have, I feel like I'm in the sharpshooter.
We have
crazy
some evidence
right
for
now.
That. Where's the evidence for detachable
I'm just saying
versus...
that's what this is like.
Okay, thank you for bringing him. And so we're not even done yet with detachable gnomes. Eventually, detachable gnomes
became mice.
Evolved into surface fairies. That's where we get to
call mice.
Okay.
And they're like free range.
Free range.
Free range fairies.
I swear to God, around the when grasses. I go to the grocery store and like I buy my bacon, I make sure it's free range fairy bacon. Yeah, I mean, it better be picked
I'm
by
looking around. Is any free range fairies? I don't see any. Okay. Maybe this is what the Evans Wentz guy was like looking for, hoping that we would see it would be free range.
It just sounds like a psychotic who's just was like, I'm bored, and you know what? I once saw something, and I might have been drunk. I might not have been drunk. I don't know which. And now I'm creating my own sect.
Well, part of evolutionary theory relies on the fossil record, right?
Oh my God, does he claim he has bones?
No! Amazingly enough, fairies don't really have fossils, right? There's just not really many
fairies. What are they, flying cartilage?
Well, there's just not many Maybe. Fairy fossils around.
Hi, I'm a fairy. Forgive my spaghetti arms for creeping you out, but I have no bones. By the way, I am not relying on my parents anymore. I'm detached.
I'm a detached free-range fairy.
I paid off my student loans all on my own. I know, my arms are freaking you out, but I can't help it. I have no structure internally.
So, I feel like that needs to be a returning character.
I beat the free-range fairy. I just like to tell you, your life could be worse. You could be like me, flying spaghetti.
Okay, so even though he had no fossil record, Ledbetter still kept going down this line of evolving, and he said that there were several distinct lines of fairies in nature, of course.
Of course.
I mean, why not? He said that one path led to the creation...
We already heard about the spaghetti fairy. Yeah.
Led to the creation of the tiny creatures, which were spirits resembling miniature hummingbirds.
Aww. I'm a big hit at the clubs. I just move in weird ways.
So,
I'm sorry, I got this one. The sound of fairies making love. It's like two wet noodles.
So, here's a quote from Ledbetter's book, and I love this. So, he's talking about these little, like, tiny creatures that kind of look like tiny hummingbirds, apparently. He says, and I quote, "These beautiful little creatures will never become human. Because they are not in the same line of evolution as we are. The life which is now animating them has come up through grasses and cereals, such as wheat and oats. When it was in the vegetable..."
Stop. Go back. 2 seconds. I'm hitting the rewind button. You need to say that again and try to be as clear as... I know you're finding this funny as I'll get up, but I'm like, wait, did he just... Did somebody say that fairies are like cereal?
Yes. "The life which is now animating them has come up through grasses and cereals, such as wheat and oats, when it was in the vegetable kingdom, and afterwards through ants and bees, when it was in the animal kingdom. Now it has reached the level of these tiny nature spirits."
Hey, Mom! Hey! I want those Fruit Loops. Give me the Fruit Loops. All right, what are you doing, Timmy? I'm just digging for the prize.
Hi, Timmy. I'm just here as your prize. Mom! So spaghetti talking to me and flying.
Wow.
So basically the energy used to grow the wheat and then help the
He
bees.
Goes on and there's these quotes like...
It's just like he's just picking words randomly out of the dictionary at this point.
He said, "The life which has ensouled one of our one of our
great... Ensouled! What does that mean?
One of our great forest trees could never design to descend to animate a swarm of mosquitoes, nor even a family of rats or mice.
Wait, Disney does that all the time. They animate mosquitoes and other animals all the time, and they become cute and adorable.
I don't... It just doesn't really, like...
This is where Disney
you read this. Through this and
so wait, all right, did you look into anything about this guy? Like, did he have a drug problem or something like that?
No, the biggest thing was the fact that he molested boys.
And it's not funny.
And told them to masturbate.
Hey, boys. This is Pete the Fairy. Paid out. I'm fairly sure this time. That's a paid out. No? Yeah. I got it right. Oh, yeah!
Pedo the Fairy.
No.
Oh. I'm sorry.
It goes on this to be guy's so insane. Weird. And you could spend hours, like, this guy is insane. What's funny is it comes back to brothels, right? Because he was afraid about the young boys maybe going to brothels and getting diseases. Uh-huh. And he said that there were some of these solar spirits that were, quote, rapacious red-brown crustacean creatures, which hovered over brothels.
Oh, God.
And
flying shrimp.
Yeah. And here's the problem that we obviously have a problem with. There were savage octopus-like monsters which gloat over the orgies of the drunkard and feed off the fumes of his alcohol.
Oh my God, this is the beginning of Japanese porn.
Oh Lord. We don't need that character.
And no. His thought was that one of these beasts, which he clearly didn't like, but one of these beasts evolved into the fairies. So are fairies good?
Yeah.
Are fairies evil?
I'm tired of being an octopus. I'm a fairy now. I got wings.
None of this makes sense.
Dude, yeah, this is insane. I mean, like,
this is almost too weird for our podcast.
Yeah, this is almost just like crazy. I feel like I'm reading like you're just reading us gibberish.
Okay. I'm sorry. Next episode that I do, I will make sure that there's vomit and puke and poop.
No. You're doing good. I mean, like, this guy is just batshit crazy.
Did he have a following? Are we gonna?
Yeah. Did he have a following or anything? Yeah. That's a good question.
Well, the trouble is, like I said, he really got kicked out of the theosophy. Part two because of everything that
came. Yeah, and they rightfully should have. I'm actually like, I was worried about making fun of theosophy. I'm applauding them at this point going, yes, you do not need somebody like that.
So I don't know if they really
kicked him out because of the pedophile thing, not because of the fairy thing.
I think it was a little column B.
No, I don't think it was column B. I think it was more column A. It really was.
Well, yeah, I mean,
from what I can tell, I don't think he...
It's fine.
What's weird, though, I mean, he may have had some, because I'm reading here, and assuming this is true, Ananda College in Colombo, Sri Lanka, awards the C.W. Ledbetter Challenge Trophy.
So a fake place.
The C.W. Ledbetter Challenge Trophy in honor of the first principal of the school, which must have been him. And he actually has, there's a three-story residential building called the Ledbetter Chambers in... India.
Why does he have any credentials at all? Was he just one of these assholes that could just talk gibberish and super smart people are like,
yeah, that's what you do.
I don't know what they're saying, so I have to pretend like they're really smart.
You go to another country, you start your life over, and people think you're a genius when really you were just a crazy person in England and they kicked you out.
Oh my God. Do you have an ending for this?
I don't know where to end. I mean, this
just How did he die?
Fairies.
I'm here to take you to the other world.
But this even gets crazier because he talks about how there were great ones, which were angels that were in charge of evolution of the vegetable kingdom. Because remember, that's where the fairies came from, right? Through oats and cereal
grains.
And Michael
approached the eggplant and said, "Unto thee the Lord protest." No, sorry. Wait. You're a vegetable. What am I doing here? God, I'm with you
Why
on
was
so
I
much.
Sent here?
But I'm talking to a plant and I'm an angel. I went to Mary and did all that stuff too, you know. I'm talking to a plant. I feel this is a bit more of a sideways promotion than a No. I'm not questioning you, Lord. I'm merely just stating, you said you had big things planned for me. You said that I would one day run the show, possibly, while you went on vacation.
While you were on vacation.
So I was thinking forward movement. This feels more sideways movement. Possibly. Maybe a little step backward. I'm talking to a plant.
Well, I did catch you masturbating the other day, Michael, so...
Oh! I had a sock on the doorknob. You knew what that meant.
Why did you...
Come on, Dad. It's been thousands and thousands and millions of years. Sock on the door. It's Michael time. Michael time.
Okay. So anyway, I don't know how he died, but he died March 1st, 1934 in Perth, Australia.
Oh.
From what? I don't...
How did he get to Australia?
Fairies. Yeah, the fairies.
Because my story picks up 1932 in Australia.
Dun, dun, dun.
Next episode.
So that's...
I can wait.
That's Ledbetter for you. And fairy evolution.
And he wrote a book.
He wrote a book that...
Okay, is it really a book or is it just ramblings of an insane person?
I mean, it's a book.
It's a book.
Can you buy it still?
Now you want to read it, right?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
I do.
I don't.
Very curious.
The hidden side of things. Let me Google it.
Oh, yeah. The hidden side of things.
The hidden side.
Do you know it's darker on the other side of the world?
Hidden.
Ledbetter. See if it's still available.
God, let's hope not.
Yeah. Barnes & Noble.
Barnes & Noble sells this book.
Yeah. What?
Amazon.
That's amazing.
It's Prime Day right now, so maybe you can get it cheap.
Yet.
Yeah. Yeah, but if you could even check out, I mean,
shoot. Oh, it's temporarily out of stock on Amazon. No. Shockingly enough. Well, yeah, it sucks. But right. It exists.
God, I wish it didn't. No, actually, I do. I like the fact that we now have Pete the Fairy.
Thank you, Pete the Fairy.
I love my spaghetti, buddy.
You changed his voice. It was funny.
What was? I have to listen to it again. You know, there's too many voices in my head. They all just shift.
That makes sense.
They all just shift. Yeah. If I hear it again, I'll just be all right.
Yeah.
So. Well, that was quite...
Wait.
How do they find us?
If they have already. I got an actual question.
I mean, you probably have already. But, you know, we're on Instagram, Verbal Distillery. Verbal Distillery on Facebook, at Verbal Distiller on the Twitter, which we don't use a lot because...
Twitter blows.
I don't like Twitter.
Anybody uses Twitter.
I like Twitter. And we're
Trump
on Instagram.
Trump ruined it.
Instagram yes, a lot. VerbalDistillery@gmail.com. Send us your hate mail, especially if you're a theosophist, and tell us how we're totally wrong and you're amazingly awesome. Maybe we'll have you on air, too.
That would be amazing.
That would be cool. I would like to talk to an actual theosophist. Because
we're more confused about it than ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it really wasn't much about theosophy.
Or maybe for... Yeah. Fairies.
Yeah, if you're a fairy, it's a fur offer.
That's a horse person.
If you believe in fairies, please contact us because we love to talk to you.
Yes, we would love it.
We'd love to talk to you.
So, yeah.
All right, well, you've heard it. You can't unhear it.
Just the tip.
It was just the tip.